You must realize, then, that sooner or later we're going to have to make contact with them. Real, physical, face-to-face contact. That's a pretty delicate situation. Indeed it is. That's why I want you to draw up a plan of action about making contact with the aliens. Brad sagged back in his chair. Kossoff thought, that hit him where he lives. Good. Before Brad could reply, Kossoff went on. We need a detailed plan on how to approach the humanoids. How, when, and who should make the contact. They've spent all their existence alone on their planet without realizing that their world is a planet, or that the stars they see at night are other suns, many of them hosting planets that bear life. Without realizing that the death wave is heading toward them, Brad added. And we'll wipe out all life on their world, Kossoff added. And we're here to help them. Yes. Unless it's done properly, first contact with them could be terribly injurious to the aliens. Just as damaging as the death wave. Brad nodded. Kossoff went on. That's why I need an anthropologist to draw up our plan of action. An anthropologist who isn't a hidebound academic, who has a broad enough vision to see beyond the obvious. That's why I need you, my boy. For long, silent moments, Brad sat there, his thoughts spinning, wondering, hoping. You'll do it? Kossoff asked. You'll accept this challenge? The other department heads might not like it. I'm just a junior member of the anthropology team, and they already don't think much of the anthropology team. With a wave of his hand, Kossoff said airily, Oh, I'll take care of any objections they raise. Remember, what I'm asking for is a plan of action. All the department heads will get their chance to review it, comment on it, make suggestions. Tear it to pieces, Brad muttered. But he was smiling as he said it. Perhaps, Kossoff conceded. But I'll review it too, very carefully. We'll work together on this. I'll protect you from unwarranted sniping. That'd be fine. Then you'll do it? You'll accept the responsibility? Yes, sir, I will. Good, Kossoff exclaimed. Fine. From now on, this plan of action is your responsibility. I'll tell Littlejohn to release you from all your other duties. Brad pursed his lips, then asked, Let me tell him, please. Coming from you, it'll seem like a command. Coming from me, it'll sound more like a request. Kossoff nodded vigorously. Smart lad. He walked Brad to the door, shook his hand warmly, and watched the lanky young man start down the passageway, his head obviously in the clouds. As he slid the door shut and went back to his desk, Kossoff told himself, He'll be useful. Young, enthusiastic, idealistic. He'll produce an interesting plan. And if anything goes wrong, it will be his plan that followed up. Reaction. Sitting on the sofa in their quarters, Felicia looked halfway between intrigued and alarmed. A plan for contacting the humanoids? She asked. Too excited to sit down, Brad paced across the room as he said, Yes! Kossoff wants me to work out how and when we send people down to the surface of Gamma. And actually meet the aliens. Right. Felicia's light gray eyes looked troubled. What does Dr. Littlejohn think about this? I spent the whole afternoon with him. He thinks it's a great opportunity for me. Then Brad added, And a big responsibility. Yes, a big responsibility. Grinning, Brad told her, Littlejohn joked that I'll probably take over chairmanship of the anthropology department sooner or later. Felicia ignored that. She asked, You're not going down there yourself, are you? And Brad thought he understood what was troubling her. He went to the sofa and sat down beside her. I might have to. Wouldn't that be dangerous? He shrugged. A little, I suppose. I'd probably have to wear some sort of protective clothing, like a spacesuit or something. The aliens. They might be afraid of strangers. Hostile. Brad laughed. We've been watching them for just about a year now, and we haven't seen any aggressive behavior at all. They're peaceful, nonviolent. But they've never seen any strangers, have they? No, I guess not. They might be frightened by having strangers suddenly drop in on them. I'll have to factor that into the plan, Brad said easily. Getting up from the sofa, he held both his hands out to Felicia. Come on, I'm taking you out to dinner. She let him pull her to her feet.
I've got to change. I'm not dressed for a night out.
The Crystal Palace was barely half full, but Brad recognized Larry Untermeyer sitting at a table with an older-looking woman. Untermeyer spotted Brad and waved him over to their table.
Hi, you two, Larry said as they approached. Come on and join us. We just sat down ourselves.
Turning to his companion, he introduced,
This is Latifa Valente, geophysics.
Tifa,
the woman said with a gracious smile. She appeared to be almost middle-aged, although with rejuvenation therapies, Brad thought she might be anywhere from 40 to 90. Dark hair falling straight to her shoulders, longish face with strong cheekbones, and strikingly deep violet eyes. Slim figure. As Felicia and Brad sat at the two unoccupied chairs at the table, Larry explained,
Tifa's the daughter of an Italian geologist and an Iranian chemist, so naturally she went into geophysics.
Brad introduced Felicia and himself.
You're the fellow who's going to draw up the plan for contacting the Gammons, said Tifa.
Brad felt his brows hike up in surprise. Larry chuckled at him.
Hey, it's all over the ship. Your big news, Beanpole. Kossoff's anointed one.
A serving robot trundled up to their table.
Would you like something to drink?
Just give us two more glasses, said Larry. As the robot pulled two wine glasses from its interior, Untermeyer tapped a fingernail against the bottle of red wine already on the table.
You'll like it.
It's an Italian wine, said Tifa. Valpolicella.
Reconstituted, Larry added.
He poured a little for Felicia, explaining,
They have to make new wine in the chem lab. The ship couldn't carry enough to last the whole 5 years.
It's not bad, Felicia said.
Brad said, I'll try a little.
You? Untermeyer feigned shock. The lime juice guy?
With what he hoped was a diffident shrug, Brad said, I'm celebrating. Grinning as he poured, Larry said to Felicia,
You're civilizing him.
She's curing my allergies, said Brad.
They ordered dinners from the patient robot. Then Larry said,
So how'd you wangle the big job? The whole ship is buzzing about it.
I was just as surprised as you were, Brad admitted.
Tifa said, I'll be glad to help you with anything you need to know about the conditions on Gamma's surface.
With a nod, Brad replied, Thanks. There's a lot I need to learn.
Don't we all, said Untermeyer with some fervor.
That night, as Felicia and Brad prepared for bed, she asked him,
What did you think of Tifa?
She seems all right. If she can put up with Larry, she must be pretty nice. Motherly type, I guess. He headed for the lavatory. It was good of her to volunteer to help me.
Yes,
Felicia said, drawing out the word as if she didn't really mean it. Brad picked up on it.
But? You're going to be a very popular guy, you know.
Me?
The word's going through the ship that you're Kossoff's fair-haired boy. Lots of people are going to want to get on your good side.
Brad turned at the door to the lavatory and went back to Felicia.
Are you jealous?
Should I be?
But she was smiling, obviously teasing him. Brad sat beside her.
You're the only woman in the world for me, Felicia. The only woman in all the worlds.
She nestled her head on his chest, murmuring,
I know, darling. But just be careful. Not everyone who offers to help you is going to be your friend, you know.
Dangers. Kossoff assigned one of the smaller offices to Brad, three doors down the passageway from his own office. Brad plunged into detailed studies of the physical conditions on the surface of planet Gamma.
The air is breathable, then? He asked MC's holographic image on the wall display.
The oxygen content is 3% lower than Earth's, MC replied, and the trace constituents are slightly different. 0.4% more argon, 0.6% less neon. Brad nodded and pushed back a stubborn lock of hair from his eyes as he peered at the graph on his desk screen.
More water vapor, he noted.
Yes, and 2% more carbon dioxide than Earth normal.
So it's breathable.
It appears so. Standard procedure calls for testing samples of the atmosphere on laboratory animals before allowing any humans to breathe it.
Brad said, We've already brought up enough samples for that.
And we have plenty of lab mice.
MC's normally impassive face tightened slightly, like the beginning of a frown.
Curious thing, the carbon dioxide content in the atmosphere seems to be falling.
With a flick of his fingers, Brad called up the CO2 details.
It's only a 0.1% drop.
Over the short time we've been making observations, that could be a significant change.
Brad leaned back in his padded chair.
The planet's nearing its perihelion. In a few months, it will start heading outward from Mithra, heading into their long winter,
which will be made more severe if the CO2 content continues to diminish.
And its rendezvous with planet Beta is coming up soon, too, Brad noted.
Within 2 months, the two planets will be nearest to each other.
Will that have any effects on Gamma's surface conditions?
Certainly. The predecessors reported serious variances from normal.
Working his desktop screen again, Brad called up the orbital data on the two rocky planets.
Phew. They pass each other closer than the Moon is to Earth.
There should be significant tidal effects, said MC.
I ought to check with the astronomers.
Indeed. Returning to their original subject, Brad said, but the atmosphere is breathable.
It appears to be, but we should test it on lab animals before sending people to land on Gamma.
That's the sensible thing to do.
Trust the observational data, said MC, but check its validity with controlled experiments whenever you can.
Brad grinned, like sending scouts out ahead of the main body.
Like sending a probe before risking your own life, said MC.
You think the conditions on Gamma could be dangerous?
Anytime you go into a new and untried environment, there are dangers, MC said. There are always unknowns, and unknowns are dangerous.
Brad remembered a quotation from centuries earlier. It's easy to see the things you're looking for. The trick is to see the things you're not looking for.
What is it that I'm not looking for? He asked himself.
As if in answer, his phone buzzed. Latifa Valente's name was spelled out on its screen. Brad told the phone to connect. Tifa was smiling happily.
Good news, Brad. Professor Kossoff has agreed to let me join your team. I'll be your geophysics specialist.
Team? I don't have a team. There's just MC and me.
Oh, no, no, she contradicted. Professor Kossoff was quite clear. He's putting together a team to assist you, and I'm the first person he's named to it.
But, her expression sobering slightly, she said,
I must admit that I asked him to be on your team. I think it's very exciting, don't you?
Yes, I guess so.
Well, you could be more enthusiastic. After all, I'm trying to help you.
I appreciate it. Even in his own ears, Brad's words sounded weak, unenthusiastic. And he was thinking, I don't want a team. I have MC. Why do I need a team? He decided that he'd have to talk to Kossoff about it.
The team.
But of course you need a team, Kossoff insisted. I don't expect you to draw up the plan all by yourself without help.
Sitting in front of Kossoff's desk, Brad protested.
But I don't want a team. I have MC. He's got access to all the data we've acquired.
MC is just a computer.
Just a computer?
He's got all the information that a team could give me, and then some.
Licking a hand in the air, Kossoff said,
I can't expect you to do this job by yourself.
But I'm not alone. I've got MC.
Which is a computer, not a person, Kossoff said with some heat. You need a team of human beings, people that you can interact with, people who can show you different attitudes, new ideas.
Brad shook his head. Easing his approach, Kossoff coaxed.
Now don't be stubborn. I've picked a team for you, and you'll find your task much easier by using them. Specialists from every department in our group, astronomy, planetology, geophysics, geochemistry. I've even put your wife in the biology slot. And I've assigned Untermeyer from your own anthropology department to be your second in command.
Brad sat there appalled.